Because this was common Jewish practice. Another Sephardic source. שמנהג פשוט להכיר המור והמוס בחילה, ומעשים בכל יום שנותנים אותו בתוך המרקחת וממי מגיעה לו ריח טוב. ופה חזי ממה עם הדבר. And just look at what the general practice is. Everybody uses this moss to give a nice odor to the candies, and therefore since everybody uses it, it must be permissible. That's a complete contrast to the philosophy today, which is if you find an issue, don't pay any attention to what the common practice is, but change everybody's practice. כלומר, אף שאחר מי שדרך להראות בדבש דברים אחרים ונימוכים בתורכו וחוזרים להיות דבש. מכל מקום רקל ומחשמידים ותיש מטרי בו עד שלא נימוח מעשיר הכמותר ליחר בעל מהר. וכיימינן בתמורה אפרוח ביצת פרוע שריפה מותר לאם הכזרו לכי נסרח ונאו אל תאית an egg of a chicken which is become a trefa, but if that egg hatches and turns into a chick, you're allowed to eat the chick. Because in the state of converting from an egg to a chick, it's passed through a stage in which it's been completely inedible.
Did anybody here ever see a live woodcock or a skin egg that's got a impregnated?
Sure, it's awful.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's eaten more allowable after the smaller thing.
And what he's saying is, what the Gemara is saying, well, I'll repeat what the Gemara says. The Gemara in Temuah, this is the Gemara in Temuah, it says that even though you're not allowed to, the egg of a chicken, which is a favorite, you're not allowed to eat. It's prohibited.
If the mother chicken
is the mother chicken is a trefa, you're not allowed to eat her egg. If a regular chicken has become a trefa and it laid an egg, and that egg is prohibited. However, if that egg hatches into a chick, then the chick is permissible.
You have to check
the chick, but the chick is permissible. And the Gemara asks why. After all, the egg itself was prohibited. How did something which was prohibited become converted into something which is permissible? And the Gemara answers exactly as you say. In the intermediate stage, it passes through a stage in which it's not edible and not presentable to any purpose. It's just like some... and therefore what has occurred here is that it passed through a stage in which it was non-usable, and therefore what is present now is something entirely new. So even though the substance of this chick, in fact, is come out of the egg, nevertheless it's considered as an entirely new object, and therefore if this chick grows up, you're allowed to slaughter it and eat, or eat its eggs. Okay? So the theory, the principle that's espoused here is that if you had padim chadashot, an entirely new substance which has arrived out of the old substance, and especially if it passed through an intermediate stage, when it was not usable, it has become permissible.
I like it because it makes more sense. If it became a chicken, then you could get slaughtered.
Right.
And looking at it as it is, you couldn't just boil it and you bring it to life.
Opposite to that color.
Right.
I'd boil it.
וגם בשאלות ותשובות הרדב"ז חלק ג' נשאל על מה סמכו לתת המוס בתבשיל ובמרקחת, הרי הוא דם חיה פנויה, והשיב שאף על פי שהרנוח היה אוסרו באכילה, מכל מקום פוסקים רבים מתיאור, רבינו יונה הגיעו על התיאור מדבש, וכן כתב הר"ן וצפו צפו. אני אומר שאין בו איסור כלל, שכבר נתפטר מתורת אוכל וחזר להיות יח ויהיה מים. וכן כתב בשאלות ותשובות כתבי לב, בדעת הרדב"ז שלו, בשאלות ותשובות בגינת דברים, בדין היתר המוניע, ויכול להיות מספרי all of these sources in the past. So he's now introduced the principle that if something has passed through a stage in which it's become inedible and then developed in something to something new, that new object is not to be identified with the original system. Let's read about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the bottom of the same page.
But once again, all of this has to do with ingesting food.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay. So when I asked you before, at this time, no one dreamt of saying replacement organ, pig organ.
No, then there's no prohibition against that. No reason to prohibit it. Only, we're only talking about eating prohibited food. If you can save somebody's life by implanting a pig's heart, why not? Okay, Ra'iti Halom, Adran Rav Yosef Kanditz, ושאלות ותשובות דברי יוסף, שכתב להתיר אבק מאמין הגבינות שנעשה מלאו מעצמות גדלות ותפקות מפעם הנעל. I'm going to just about 10 lines from the bottom of the same page. He's now quoting the Shuvah of Rabbi Kanditz, of which you have a copy. Maybe you can read ממה שכתב הרב המנהל שהמור של מעשה הכתובת ממס, כשהוא גם חייה שבהודו כפולי בהוסיפות, הוסף שלדעתו גם הרי בת מודה להתירו באכילות, כאילו שמשתנה, היסור ונהפק למין אחר, ורק לכניין הפי שכניין. ועד הרמב"ם, בשן הרמב"ם יש להגיד תסביר להיתר ולהוסיף לרבי סימוכים להיתר במה שכתב הרמב"ם בשר המת שנברח ונעשה כמה פרות. והרמב"ם זה הוסיף שכמו שאפרות טהור מותר גם ליחידה. ומה שכתב הרמב"ם שאוכל מאכל איסור שיסביר כדי שיותר מאוכל אדם פטור ומשמע שאסור מודיע אותם זה דווקא הם לא משתנה צורתו לגמרי. That's only if it retained some of its original form. אבל אם נפרח ונעשה כקמח, if it has become so dry that it's become into a form of the powder, פנים חדשות בעולו כאן והרי נקרא עם כאן כל זה סדרה. So this is what Rabbi Kanditz wrote, and that he wrote to Rabbi Chaim Ozen. ונסכים עמו הגרן על חיים עוזר בתשובה שם, וגם בשאלות ותשובות אחרי זין שם, ועם, גם ראיתי לידידי הגרן רבן צבי אבא שלום, I don't know who this is, בשאלות ותשובות אור לציון, שכתב לחלק בין שינוי שנעשה בידי שמיים, באופן טבעי, כי המס כשהתירו רבן יונה לשינוי הנעשה בידי אדם, וחשיב ציוד שני בצורה בלבד, ולא לשינוי במהות, והעיר מזה מה שכתב בספרי יחד הדעת, בגלל כל מצלימון, מסתמך אדם כאילו אני לא ראים שם, ונעלם ממנו מה שכתב מחשפר, מעתיר שמן שעושה מחצנים של סתם אינם על פי דברי אוניון. הוא מביא לי וסביר לי שאין חילוק בין מה שנעשה בידי שמיים, באופן טבעי, בשינוי הנעשה בידי אדם, והסכימו עמו בשל ושל ידי מנקר, פעמים מירושה ואור. בלכף גם בלבידן יש להתיר הג'לטן, מכיוון שפנים חדשות באו לכאן, וכי דברי הגאונים הנעת. So now he's supporting the position of Chaim Ozer, who supported the positions of Rabbi Pardes and Rabbi Kanditz. Ulam, ra'iti v'hagon Rabbi Yechezkel Avransky, b'tshuva sh'ulav rosh zeta tzita liyezer, sh'kakav davar barur hu, asher ha-gelatin ha'ase me'atzamot eina yitzira hadasha. The gelatin that's manufactured from bones are not a new product. שמשתנה מכון הראשון או פון החדש לגמרי על ידי אמצעי הפעמים. אלא הגלטין הוא אותו החומר עצמו שישנו ביצמות מלעיקרו. וכל האמצעים החיוניים שמשתמשים בהם בתעשיית הגלטין אינו באים אלא להחליט שאר חומרים שיש בעצמות מהתחום הגלטין שלא יסיגו או שלא יגרו את ידו. ואם כן, אין מקום זה למסע ומתן בהתי הגלטין מהסם הנעשה ליצמות נבלות ולתקיפות על דבר הרגיליון לדבר שאנחנו בואו חתיכה קיצור גזלים בהשפעה של המתקיפה. ומכל מקום, רבי אברמסקי רוב, להכרחה בעתיד נותר כדעת המתירים את הג'לטין מטעם שהעצמות אינם בכלל נבלות ובכלל לעניין איסור. If you're dealing with gelatin that's made from bones, then originally there was no prohibition. But the shame שאינם בכלל נבלות לעניין תומה. Okay, so that's this heter of Rabbi Abramsky would differentiate in favor of Rabbi, what's his name? Chaimkov, that you can give a heter on gelatin made from bones, but not on those made from the skin. Jackson. שכתב עוד שבג'רלטן חשב החשבים מפגן שמעלו בכוונה, הנה בשאלת תשובת אחיאזר, כהלכים הוא כתב, שמאחר שעשה מזה אבק דק לצורך הכתרה בלבד, אין בזה משום אחשבי, יש לו אחריים שם. ודברו נכונים ואמיתיים לדינה. לכן יש להשיב על יתר דברי הרב משנת לבר, אהרון הנער, כאשר עיני המעיין תחזר ומשרים. אלא שעדיין יש לחוש לאור לשם המתפשרו עצמות האיסור של הנושא משנה לדון ביחד עם הבשר יפרשו מהם ובעלו פעם האיסור, שבזה מפורש בפי שוכן שעלי צריכים לצריך עם האיסור, איש שלא מסרותם, אם יש לא משהו מכיוון שאינם בני יומם, הרי אבל אני לא עושים את האמור. גם לאף שבפי שהם באמת יוכלו חזר את זה מה שאני מכירים, עצמות האמור לא גסו. וכן כתב השאל של רבי יזר כרגימו, שהרחנו שעשה עצמות הנדפקה ועצמות הרכים, אבל הם עצמות הקשים וידשים ודאי, שגם איסור על יקר, ומכן פשוט של הדלפים שנעשו מעצמות שנתגרשו אין בהן שש איסור כלל. ולפעמים לנו יודע שעצמות האיסור מסתרפים היותר ויותר הוצרו, ואין לחוש מעצמות של התשבור נדבר הבאולומיה. שהרי באינו בן ימון נתן לנו גם מכך, ויחקו התחילה עשו גם בפתירה של בן ימון, יכולנו כאן להיות עם זה שמצדים לגמרי על ידי הסיב של המלך, והספספר הספר. הספור הסורק ומחלק על הבלוע, שוב אין מילים לפליטה, כל כך אין לחוש כלל. יוצא בזה קטן על היקסי, כשהם רש פעם עכשיו. ויאק שבשאלות ותשיבות בערב רב רב הפרק כתב להסביר דעת העוסרים, מכל מקום להלכה אין דבר מוכרחים לזה, גם מה שכתב שאין לה להסתמך על השינוי להפק דברי עליונה, שלמעשה לא סמכו הפוסקים הרב ימר וצרי סורתו לפני, כי המורם החולק עליו יוסר נעלם ממנו, הבדולה דברי הפוסקים הנעל שסמכו על סורת הבן עליונה להפלוח על המייסר, because it's a whole range of סבר הפוסקים ובילה עליהם לבן עליונה, זה לא תפילה שכנה זה כבר. יש מקום לתיאור יצחק בן עליון, בנוסף על פסק הרמב"ם, ביאור הכתובה של נתקן, איש חזר בפניו בכמה עניינים לדין את האור של השר, וכדברי הרמב"ם, שהאור כאן מאור בין התפילה של האור תמיה ובשביל השר איזה פטור, בין שאור המבשל שר לי האור בחלק להתחלה הפטור, הם אוכלים פטור, יהיו איסור מיריקה, בין הוא מתעשייה כאור, כאשר בוודאי מסכים דבר לצאת הדבות יחתר, זה צאצ'ם, וכן נעלו בשל קשורות של שרצמי השם, אך לפי אמור לאל יש להציל ג'רלטן הנעשו מאור בנימה, הוא רשום אצלי בזיכרוני, כימי קלופי, שבקובץ דברי זאב, חלק י"ח, פסק להכיר את ג'רלטן כאילו שאין בו טעם כפר, ודמי למה שכתב התוספות זוהר הדברים של רבלי הדברים כאילו מעצמות בעלמנים, מדברים את הרי העצמות דברים כאילו עצמות החמור הדברים, ורבלי הדברים כאילו החמור עד עכשיו. וכן נראה דעת ידידי הגענו על איזה יחיום וולנברג שליט על ראש ספר תצאי יזר, כי הרע לתשובה אדון יורד גנצקי עזר. ומסחמק יזר על תשובה את הרב יזר הנאו, וכן עיקר להלכות ולמעשה, והנראה לו ינתה כתתת. So Rabbi Yosef was not intimidated by any of the American rabbis who decided to prohibit this, and his final opinion is that all gelatin is permissible, more or less like Rabbi Pardes' position and Rabbi Moses' position. So,
I want to make an issue about gelatin, right? As a kid, I never remember eating it at all.
He ate ice cream.
Not direct like now, because I don't eat gelatin anymore.
Well, you may or may not have eaten jello with Rabbi Pardes' hashim.
Yeah,
no. Oh, you may or may not have eaten kojel. Today, kojel is made from vegetable flakes. But in the 5th agar-agar, but in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, kojel was made from what was called kosher gelatin, which meant gelatin made from the bones of non-kosher animals.
In the 1950s, I remember New York, they came out with several newsletters against kojel.
Exactly. So let's summarize the situation. Today, gelatin, at least in the United States, is prohibited. Don't come away from this shiur with any idea that I'm saying that gelatin is permissible. I'm saying that in the United States, the opinion of Rav Aaron Kuttner and Rav Eliezer Silver has managed to carry the day. And unfortunately, also in Israel, it's managed to carry the day. I wrote, as you saw the email that I got from Rabbi Levinger when I asked him what he's now the person in charge of the Kashrus of the Chief Rabbi, an old friend, and he says that you know, no longer certified products which and they do jump and accept in the case of medication, or special kinds of candy, in which we insist on adding the phrase.
Well, what he says, Reverend Wendy Johnson, from Spartan,
those who follow Rabbi Avadia Yosef will regard gelatin as being permissible, the way that the gelatin was permissible, say, 20 years ago, according to Rabbi Scheinkopf, that his name, except for gelatin made from pig skin. But according to Rabbi Avadia Yosef, all forms of gelatin, even those made from skins, are permissible. I don't know to what extent he lost that fight. He lost that fight as far as the chief rabbi is concerned. And so here's another example in which the halakha has changed, and even though on most, I mean, Feinstein's position is that he doesn't know. I guess he did not really want to take a position against Rabbi Cutler, who is a close friend of his. So he considers gelatin as a suffix.
Why did Rabbi Kutler say that
you don't have to? It's a long argument. Look, I'll read to you what Rabbi Kutler said. So you have that here. Rabbi Kutler. Gelatin and Maasani at Samoch and the Belok to pay for. While you design it, Aura Shela Biko had in Shalaksamoch and Yeshba and Bisu. He nay, Angel of Salil is the Kate of Dindazer, Mitam Hashiru Yim Harikarim Shakalim the Yatsamot Ali of Tolome Atasia. I don't want to get into this whole subject about the change in the substance of the material by the production process. Kiim Machit Lazer, because if you get down to that type of an argument, he may kemat she'en shum yisur Torah, nival yisur ananah she'lo eshar l'nitzol heter on pe'afonim eil. And everything is now processed today, and therefore he says that he wants to reject entirely the notion that something can become permissible by a processing agent. Okay? I mean, this is the intuitive reaction. The intuitive reaction is that even though you have a principle that says that something which has changed its form no longer is identified with its original source and therefore is no longer prohibited, and secondly, even though you may say that something which has passed through a stage in which it's become inedible has lost its form, but if you do that, you're going to allow all processed foods because you always can find some way of committing it. So here's a situation in which the two pillars, two of the three pillars on which the heter is resolved, is simply swept away by Rabbi Kites without any argument whatsoever. So you have your choice. You can take someone like Rav Chaim Lozer or Chazal Nish or the Ovadia Yosef, who tries to deal with classical halakhic categories, or you can take the position of Rabbi Kites, who says intuitively, once you open the door to this, you can allow anything, because you can always process anything and it become
a higher quality. The eye and the bookshelf. That's the process that would make, takes it out of the class of being a wine.
No. The eye and the bookshelf is an entirely different story, because the whole prohibition of wine has to do with that be fit for Niso Ali there, Amaris there. We studied that last semester.
What made it?
Because it's not fit for use as a libation. The prohibition against wine that everybody comes in contact with is that there might have been some libation.
By being boiled, it's no longer
fit
wine.
For libation. It's wine, but it's not fit for libation.
You want to argue what you use it?
For libation. That's the principle.
That's what kind of bottle you see it through its boil?
Right.
And why? I don't know.
I agree with you, but this is the classical halacha. It has nothing to do with the issue of passing through a stage in which it's been processed. Boiled wine was not prohibited before. If this wine had come in contact with a non-Jew prior to boiling would not make it permissible. In the case of Yayin Mubushal, the wine was permissible, and then it was cooked, and then it cannot become prohibited, because it's not fit for libation. Whether you regard that as a joke or as a serious argument, that's your judgment. But here we're talking about a situation of something which was prohibited and then was processed. So that's an entirely different problem. So as you can see, Rabbi Peitz wants to put the whole issue of processing aside. He's not going to even consider it, even though Rabbi Avadah Yosef spends about 90% of his tshuva on the arguing that something which has become processed, and especially if it has become inedible in the middle of the processing stage, then it becomes permissible. And then he wants to argue that bones are in fact prohibited, and that's a very questionable argument, which Rabbi Elder rejects, but then comes to the conclusion, okay, but we'll prohibit it anyway because it can lead to too many difficulties. So in the United States, gelatin is a prohibited gelatin.
So that became very democratic.
And more democratic. So that's it. I could obviously, because of the amount of material that I have here, spend another 3 or 4 hours just going into it in any detail. I provided you with all the reading material except for this little book, which I don't think by copyright I should Xerox the whole book and give you. I have no compunction about Xerox and his copies of the Shulma about Rabbi Kardis and the Chaim Ozer and Rabbi Kanowski, even though he puts in a few comments here and there in a minute. So there are three types of gelatin, all prohibited in the United States, and all permissible according to the Rabbi Yosef, and then the bone gelatin is permissible according to a wider range of authorities, which include Rabbi Heskel Klonsky. By now, the OU has had sufficient power over the chief rabbi in Israel to make the United States practice more or less staying.
So one really doesn't have to. If you agree with that about the essay, you have to go according to one in the United States.
Well, I don't know who's you. I will follow what's happening in the United States. But if I was a Sephardic Jew who relied on Rabbi Avadah Yosef for all my decisions, then I might not want to take into consideration what the chief rabbi tells me to say, because after all, the leading halakhic authority of the century says that it's permissible. So it depends what you're at. I think what's happened is, as Dr. Flavis said, the idea of leading halakhic authority still persists among the Sephardi community because they all regard Rabbi Yosef as the head and shoulders above anyone else. Whereas here, things have become a little bit more democratic. And as I said, one of the major influences here was Rabbi Silver and Rabbi Peitz, both of whom were energetic rabbis, but not necessarily regarded as the leading halakhic rights of the time. Mm-hmm. Look, the issue of hashir, all I can do is tell you the following story. The rabbi of Rehovot, where my son lives, Cook, insists that they only use liver candies in the synagogue in various other places, because liver candies has the hechsher of the badatz, whereas the elite candidates only has the hechsher of the rabbinate. He gets a salary from the rabbinate, and furthermore, any little inspection will show that there's just one set of candy manufacturing machines, and on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, they produce lever, and on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays. So what's happened is that the notion of a hechsher has become completely politicized and made into a business. And obviously, you can find many, many diatribes on the web against the OU because they're so lenient, but in fact, they're far more stringent than what is required by authorities like what the Rabbi Yosef is saying.
I think I was misreading somebody it was the Rav that talked about eating cheese no matter what, because one time there were 2 days of high cheese and one time all the way to the end. And that was the reason, because of Renneth and the
all comes back to me now. Whereas we don't do that kind of cheating.
Anymore. Right, well, if I recall correctly, what our salvation said was follow what your family custom is. And if your family custom, if your family custom is to eat these various craft cheeses and cheese products, you can eat them, and if not, none. He ate them, I think.
Well, then his craft cheese had functions, and they, that was one of the things that he allowed it, and he came and brought it spread out. It was not part of the cheese, it was the rennet, with the stuff with the
well, you have, you have a, you have a trigger in here of, by Rabbi Henkin on the issue of rennet. He differentiates between different uses of rennet. But that would take me, that's a long story. We discussed cheese, if you remember, about 30 years ago. Okay, so thank you much for being here. And we resume, I assume, after Sukkot in the fall. And I have no idea what the topic will be.
What are we going to do Wednesday night now?
We got all these things.
What are you going to do?
I remember the last
no comparison.
So I have more details here.
I'm at the session on beer.
Nice to see you again.
Beer.